on the Fight Nerd Radio.
This is the Fight Professor, Stephen Quadros, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is Danny the Upgrade, Lovenstar, and you're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
This is Martin Kamen. You're watching the FightNerd.com. This is Nathan Afro Tour, and you just got schooled by the Fight Nerd.
See it? What is it?
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Not quite live from New York. You're listening to Fight Nerd Radio.
Hey, this is the Fight Nerd, and welcome to another edition of Fight Nerd Radio. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, and Affliction is no more. That's our top story. We're going to try to make sense of it all later in the show. We're going to talk to a few of the fighters and people involved to see if we can figure out what's going on with Affliction, including L.C. Davis, Jay Haran, Paul Buontello, and Davidas Torcevic's manager, Neil Wolfson. That'll all be later on in the show. Before we get too deep into the show, I just need to thank the people that put the SpaghettiOs in the Fight Nerd's microwave, and that includes CagesideMMA.com, HoodlumFightGear.com, FindMMAGym.com, and BostonBrawler.com. And don't forget to read the Fight Nerd column in Tap Out and MMA Worldwide magazine. Also this month, I've got an article in Extreme Fighter magazine that's about fighters retiring, knowing when to retire, so check that out too. These are all on sale now wherever you buy your books or magazines. You do remember what books are, right? It's like the internet, except with staples and paper. Yeah, you might have seen those. All right, so anyway, let's get on to some of the hard news we have for this week. And because of all this Affliction chaos, a lot of other news has really been kind of washed away. And really, can you blame the MMA news world for this? I mean, it's a huge story. It's a massively big story. The company that the UFC considered such a giant threat during the last two shows that Zuffa actually attempted to blacklist venues and run other shows and things on TV side by side to compete has now completely collapsed and been brought back into the UFC as a sponsor. Just last week, we were discussing how Barnett was removed from the card thanks to his love of lady steroid, this being the third time in his career that he tested positive for steroids. At that time, it looked like Vitor Belfort was going to in fact replace Barnett in this match with Fedor, but not soon after the entire fight was scrapped, the show was then itself scrapped. And that it was then revealed that UFC and Affliction would resume ties and become a sponsor once more at UFC shows. That's a pretty amicable fix-up if you ask me. I mean, it came really quickly. Something fishy going on here? It sounds like it. So let's take a look at some of the things we have heard and try and slowly see if we can make any sense of this whole big situation. According to Affliction Vice President Tom Atencio, the show was scrapped because of the loss of headliner Josh Barnett, who failed the drug test administered by the California State Athletic Commission, and was therefore denied a license to fight Fedor Emelianenko on August 1st. Sadly for Fedor, he had already flown to California and heard the news when he pretty much got right off the plane. Barnett has become the scapegoat for many in the end of Affliction, but how much blame is there really to place on him? We're going to get some opinions on this from some people involved in the show later, as we mentioned at the top of the show, but in my opinion, the blame can be spread out pretty evenly, and like I said before, I think something fishy is going on here that might have even happened before the death of Affliction was even a thought in anybody's mind. There were reports that Affliction had reached out to the UFC as recent as UFC 100 to discuss a new business relationship, and there are also reports that Affliction had reached out to Strikeforce, but Scott Coker had been away and unable to continue the discussions, and I guess Tom Atencio either grew antsy or just got a better offer from Zuffa, and agreed to stop promoting shows and rejoin the UFC once again as a sponsor. Now, what's interesting about this is that news is still not known about what will happen with the fighters' contracts. We do know already that Affliction contracts are non-exclusive, and word is that some fighters have already been offered fights in other companies. But the question is, if Affliction sells their assets, what will happen with those fighter contracts? Will they carry over to the new buyer, who will most likely be the UFC at this point? And technically, can they carry over, since UFC and Affliction have completely different terms? Namely, that the UFC has exclusive rights to their fighters, and Affliction allowed their fighters to actually fight in other companies, such as Strikeforce, Adrenaline, and even that little Ultimate Chaos show that had Bobby Lashley taking on Bob Sapp on it. Now, who do I think is to blame for the downfall of Affliction? I don't place 100% of this on Josh Barnett, but he is definitely a major player in this, clearly. As I said last week, he has not fought in the U.S. that much, and when he did, he tested positive for steroids twice before, which makes you wonder why he's fought so much in Japan, a country with no sanctioning body to speak of, that was rumored to let fighters come as roided in as they wanted. And perhaps the burning spirit of the Japanese fighters would overcome these roids, but that rarely happened. I'm a big Barnett fan also, and to hear the news that Barnett was pulling out from steroids, as I mentioned last week, was just absolutely heartbreaking. And at that point, I was still hopeful that news would come around, that maybe this was all, you know, just a bunch of crap. But again, I must remain an unbiased journalist, and Barnett, you screwed up big time and may have seriously hurt your American fan base in the long run. Barnett hasn't been too shaken up by this news, as he is already set to wrestle in Inoki's Genome Federation. I said wrestle and not fight, because the IGF is Antonio Inoki's pro wrestling organization, akin to the new UWF, which used to put on shoot-style pro wrestling matches, if you can figure out what that means. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go check it out on YouTube. They're pretty fun to watch, even if they are fake. Granted, all the fighters from the canceled Affliction show are trying to find new homes, but you think that Barnett would focus more on handling all this negative press aside from one very vague MySpace post that didn't really tell us anything or didn't really even apologize. Add to that that Antonio Silva, a man who has also had problems with the California State Athletic Commission in the past, is already challenging Barnett for the first ever Sengoku heavyweight title in the land of the rising sun and unlimited testosterone. Will Barnett be able to fight in the U.S. again? I'm not 100% sure if he can be licensed again, but if he could, would any U.S. promoters really want to risk booking a show around him? In the Fight Nerd's opinion, not bloody likely. Allegedly, a lot of pressure was also put on Affliction by Showtime to cancel the event, citing the expenses it would take to advertise a whole new main event this close to Showtime. If you consider some of the outright stupid expenses they had, such as the New York City promotion where they did the usual Times Square banner, which no one cares about, and they also upped it this time by having taxis with Affliction Trilogy ads on top of them, it's understandable that their budget was fixed at that point. This was set to be a huge event, and there was a ton of buzz going around, and it sounds like Showtime just lost faith as fast as NBC had lost faith with Elite XC, which is something we should all consider when it comes to a sudden collapse of a company. In fact, let's think way back to that show, which was set to be main evented by Kimbo Slice taking on Ken Shamrock. The hype fest for that fight was building on a big level due to the mainstream status of, as they always said on the telecast, the YouTube sensation Kimbo Slice, and the WWF fans drooling over watching a pro wrestler in a real fight, as well as the real MMA fans drooling over watching Ken Shamrock get murdered again. This fight was canceled basically the day of the show, and Elite XC scrambled to get a new main event fighter, and ended up having to settle on Seth Petruzzelli, who inevitably defeated Kimbo with a weak jab, thus destroying the promotion's entire build-up of Kimbo as the next big thing, and robbing NBC of the ratings they desired, and also, of course, killed the big Kimbo push. Now we take Fedor vs. Josh Barnett, being pushed as the number one ranked heavyweight fighter, taking on the number two ranked heavyweight fighter, only for the number two heavyweight to fail the most important random drug test of his life, leaving months of hype down the crapper, and ruining a huge amount of potential sales that had a huge amount of marketing behind it. So now, can we blame Barnett and Showtime? Yes. But I think there might be even one more culprit here, and that would be Affliction itself. My evidence to back this up, number one, naming the show Trilogy, and then denying that this is a conclusive end to the company? We, the fans, should be ashamed for even believing that. Of all the things they could have named it, they chose Trilogy, which is, of course, the culmination of a series of three events. This sounds to me like there was already doubt in Atencio's mind about the longevity of his company, and publicly, we knew things were awry to begin with. Exact figures were never given for the buy rate of any of the two preceding Affliction cards, and he had already drastically dropped the pay rate of his fighters for Day of Reckoning, which was the second Affliction show. And for this show, fighters' pay weren't even released beforehand, so it sounds like pay rates were probably cut even more, and the fighters were possibly contractually obligated not to tell the press or others what they were being paid so that we would not know. And furthermore, for the UFC and Affliction to make up so quickly after battling so viciously, and we remember the war of words that constantly went back and forth and how childish that became, to me, this just seems too good to be true. Sadly, we don't know all the facts yet in this situation, and this Friday, Dana White himself will give a press conference where he says he will make many big announcements, so hopefully by then we'll have a better idea of what went down, and if not, at least the very future of Affliction's fighters. So how pissed are you that Affliction Trilogy isn't going on this Saturday? I, for one, am pretty pissed. Basically, we had a chance to see Fedor and Barnett go five rounds. Even if it was for a meaningless title for a defunct company, at least it gave us five rounds of Fedor and Barnett. It was going to be a big fight that the hardcores like myself have been dreaming about for years. On top of that, we had some other really good fights, since Affliction has always put together some really great matches. Granted, they had tons of months in between to book these things, and to keep their fighters fresh if they chose not to take any fights. But a good fight is still a good fight. On top of that, we won't get to see Chris Hordecki taking on Dan Lozon, which we were supposed to get at Day of Reckoning, and we were finally going to get to see Jay Haran back on TV after the fiasco from the last show where he was left off the pay-per-view entirely. And there's plenty of other good stuff that we're now being denied, but I don't want to talk about every single match. Nonetheless, could the show have gone on? Hell yes. but I'm just a fight nerd. I don't run a multi-million dollar company. I don't promote fights, at least not yet. So all I can really do is speculate as much as you can, and until we have all the facts, that's all I'm going to be able to do. In the meantime, the one thing we do know is that Babalu is going to fight Musashi, and that's been moved to Strikeforce's August 15th card, and will be contested for Renato Sobral's light heavyweight title, so we'll get a potential five-rounder of what many hardcore fans thought would steal the show. In the meantime, Nick Diaz is still in need of an opponent since Joe Riggs pulled out of the fight, so we might see a former Affliction guy take that spot. And for all we know, we might see another fighter in this match since Josh Thompson, who was the lightweight champion, may or may not be out of his fight with Gilbert Melendez for that title. So we might possibly see a lightweight from Affliction jump over to that show as well. At the very least, we still know that we do have Gina Carano versus Chris Cyborg to look forward to, and we're going to talk about that fight coming up in a week or so. Some other tidbits of news, but nothing we can really talk about much, is UFC 103, which was set to be a main event of Dan Henderson taking on Rich Franklin, because we all, of course, want to see Rich Franklin lose a second time to Dan Henderson, might be off the show. This news came on July 25th, which is when White, incidentally, announced the return of their friendship with Affliction, and from what we were hearing, it might be only Franklin who will not be on the card. Instead, we might end up seeing Vitor Belfort or another former Affliction guy taking on Dan Henderson for title contendership. Of course, to say it's going to be title contendership, we never really know, since this is Dana White, and, well, if he wants to give somebody else a title shot, he will. So, poor Rich Franklin is once again pushed down the ladder, but maybe they'll be able to give him a better fight in the near future. So, even in that piece of news that wasn't supposed to be Affliction-related, ended up being Affliction-related. And that just goes to show you the magnitude of what could have happened this Saturday night in California. So, with that, we're going to cut to a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to talk with a few different people involved with Affliction Trilogy, and see if they can shed some light on anything that's gone down, or see if they even know what's happening, or if they know as much as we do right now. So stick around, we're going to be right back. Fight Nerd Radio is sponsored by Cageside MMA, carrying brands from around the world, such as Triumph United, Clinch Gear, Twins, Windy, and Bad Boy, as well as their own well-crafted brand of Cageside MMA products. CagesideMMA.com is your internet superstore for all MMA gear and apparel. Battle-tested and fighter-approved, you won't find better quality or better service from any other site carrying their variety of gear, apparel, and workout equipment. Head over to CagesideMMA.com where you can shop 24/7 or call 919-477-1999 Monday through Friday. If you don't, you'll regret it. CagesideMMA.com. And we are back and trying to shed some light on the aftermath of Affliction Trilogy's cancellation and see if we can understand what exactly is happening. In the past few weeks we've been listening to the show, I've talked to several fighters who are going to be fighting on Affliction Trilogy, and I tried to get some of these guys back on to talk about what they might know about this whole craziness going down, as well as get some new voices on the show. So joining me first is one of the fighters on the Affliction Trilogy show.
Joining me now is L.C. Davis, who was set to fight Mark Hominick at Affliction Trilogy. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. Now, how did you first hear about the cancellation of the event?
Tom Atencio, the president of Affliction, called me personally and told me he's canceling the event.
Had you heard any rumors before that online or anywhere else that there was a possibility of this being canceled?
No, not at all, man. I heard it. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's the first person to know when he called all the fighters personally. I actually just finished my morning workout for the day, had a great workout on Friday, and super pumped up, feeling great for my fight, and I got that call, and it's pretty much shattered all my hopes, so.
Yeah, it sounds like it was a big surprise to everybody.
Yeah, it was, man. Less than, a week away from the fight, and I was planning on flying out on Tuesday, and flying out today, actually. I was supposed to fly out at, 8 this morning, and I got canceled.
Now, when you first heard that Fedor vs. Barnett was off the show, did you think that this was going to make this giant uproar and turn it into a canceled show, or they were just going to find a replacement like they usually do at other shows?
Yeah, not at all, dude. When I heard Barnett couldn't fight it, I didn't think it was going to affect me at all. I was just like, oh, that sucks. I wanted to see that fight, but I'm sure Fedor would end up beating up on somebody else. I didn't think it was going to end up, canceling the whole show, and then, they had lots of rumors that Vitor Belfort was going to fight him and all these different things, so I didn't really, think too much about it.
How much of the blame for this do you place on Barnett? How much do you place on maybe like what's going on with Affliction or Showtime, possibly?
I place a lot on Barnett. You know, I think if that wouldn't have happened, then I think the show might have went on. But at the same time, I think it's bigger issues than just Barnett. You know, I don't think it was all Barnett's fault. You know, I mean, obviously, Affliction was struggling or whatever, and so they had a chance to get out of it by hooking up with the UFC or whatever they did. So, you know. And I can't blame all the blame on Barnett, but I definitely think he was a big part of it.
Now, I don't know if you heard anything beforehand, but had you heard that maybe the UFC and Afflictions were talking with each other again? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I hadn't heard that they were until after Affliction canceled their show, and then it was like all over the internet, it said, Affliction canceled, and then about an hour later it said, Affliction announced his partnership with UFC, so it's like, they canceled, but now they're through with the UFC, so it's like, that's weird.
Are you still being paid for this fight at all?
I think they're going to compensate us somehow, so I'm still going to be losing out on all my sponsorships and a lot of money, but I think they're going to, my manager's, got a lawyer and some different things working on it, trying to get some of the money, you know, because basically it's like I worked for 2 months for no pay pretty much, you know, so definitely trying to get something figured out where I can get some of my pay, at least some of my show money.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you are training at Militage Fighting Systems, and you're also training with Ben Rothwell. Ben was also supposed to fight at the show. How's he doing? I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet.
He's doing all right, man. I mean, I'm sure he's bummed out, too, you know. I'm sure all the fighters are bummed out. They're supposed to fight, you know. We were both training really hard and, you know, peaking, ready to go. And then, you know, to get that news is like such a letdown, you know. But I think he's doing all right, you know. He's moving on. That's all we pretty much can do, you know.
And being at a pretty big gym like this, I mean, how's the morale overall right now? It's been a few days since this announcement happened, but how was the morale the day of and now a few days later?
It was like someone died in the gym Friday and Saturday. It was pretty sad, you know, today, I mean, the last couple of days, I'm still trying to train, you know, but it's just so hard to stay focused, you know, that happening, you know. I worked out today with Pat, no attention. You know, he just told me to keep my spirits up and, you know, stay focused, you know, because something else is going to turn up. So that's what I'm trying to do, but it's really hard right now, you know, just, you know, after, you know, expecting to be fighting this week and not having a fight, it's kind of hard to stay motivated and positive, but I'm doing the best I can at it.
I can imagine it'd be pretty rough. Now, do you know anything about what's going to happen with your contract? Since, Affliction is possibly going to be selling the assets to the company, might go to Strikeforce, maybe they'll do some with UFC. Do you know what's going to happen with your contract? Is it going to carry over if a merger happens with the new company?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that I know that Affliction has a deal with the UFC, and a lot of people are saying that UFC is going to buy up most of their contracts. And, you know, and just not buy the fighters that they don't want. So I'm hoping that possibly maybe lead me into the WEC. But right now I'm unsure. I really don't know what's going on.
Have you had any offers since this cancellation to fight elsewhere?
Well, I had a couple offers to fight on small shows. Little small show guys are giving me a couple calls, I'm just trying to be patient. My manager wants me to wait at least till Friday because that's when Dan White is supposed to make a big announcement about what he's going to do with Affliction and all that. So just trying to be patient right now before I decide to jump on a small show or, you know, something else. But I'm definitely looking to fight as soon as possible. You know, I'm in great shape, so I'm just ready to get a fight in and make some money, you know.
So ultimately, what would be the worst-case scenario and the best-case scenario for you right now?
I think best case scenario is that I will get signed with a big company like the WC, Strikeforce, or Bellator, or go back to the Japan in the next week or two. And worst case scenario is that no one picks me up and I end up having to fight on the small shows for a little while and get a part-time job and just keep struggling and keep hustling.
It's not an easy time, I bet, for fighters, just, you know, this whole thing happening so sudden, too, just out of nowhere. Such a disappointment.
It's like, you know, I was expecting to get paid, I got bills and a lot of stuff coming up, you know, and to not know when you're going to get your next paycheck is pretty scary, you know, so...
Yeah, can I ask how much you spent preparing for this fight? Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, fighters have to spend money to get ready for fights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't really have a dollar amount, but, you know, my nutrition has to go up, so I'm buying healthy food, which costs more money, and then I was doing a massage every weekend, once a week, a massage, going to the chiropractor once a week, you know, and then I had trainers that I was supposed to pay after my fight that I haven't paid, that I still want to give some money to them, but they understand my situation right now, so they're, you know, just being lenient and not expecting much from me right now, but... Yeah, man, I had a lot of bills stacked up that I put on hold for this fight, and to not get the fight is just a crushing blow.
Okay, so LC, I know you're not going to have a chance to do this in the rings on Saturday night, so if you'd like now, give a shout-out to all your sponsors and let them know how to get in contact with you.
All right, I want to thank Gamma O, Full Tilt Poker, Toyo Tires, Palante Watches, Memphis Car Audio, Mobile Wiring, Kelly's Irish Pub and Eatery, and Muscle Milk. You can get in touch with me on Facebook or MySpace or at lcdavis.tv.
All right, well, we wish you good luck, and whatever happens, we'll find out hopefully this Friday what's going on with Affliction for good. LC, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so joining us now is Jay Haran. Jay was set to face Paul Sentex Daly on the Affliction card. So, Jay, how did you first hear about the cancellation of the event?
Tom called me, told me, you know, he wanted it. Need to hear it from him first that the show has been canceled, you know.
Had you heard any rumors that this was going to happen, or did he just kind of call you out of the blue and say the show's over?
Yeah, you hear stuff like that, but I, like I said, I wasn't really paying attention to it. I thought it was, you know, you always hear stuff like that. I was so focused on my fight that I really didn't pay attention to it when I did hear it, but... You know, unfortunate circumstances that did happen.
And how disappointed are you this fight's not going to happen? This was going to be a really great fight, and now the whole show is off. I mean, must be really disappointed to hear that happen.
Yeah, it sucks, man. I put, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into my training, and, you know, I go 100% in it, and, at the end of the day, you know, the fight isn't happening, and, you know, not only did I want to first and foremost, do I want to fight, but, you know, also this is my job, man. This is how I make my living. So that's out of the question, too, right there.
Now, you're not... Sorry, go ahead. Now, you're not being paid for this fight, are you?
Not that I know of right now, no.
So...
I hope some compensation will be taken care of, but, you know, not that I know of.
Did Affliction typically take care of travel for you and those kinds of expenses?
Yeah, all the organizations pay for travel and stuff like that.
As far as, like, paying your camp, that's more on you, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything on training expenses and, you know, people don't understand that we, you know, this is how we make our money. When I wake up every day, I pay for my protein, I mean, you know, my vitamins, my food. You know, we're on special diets when we're training for fights, so... You know, our bills, my mortgage, you know, bills go on and on. I mean, you know, just because we don't fight, the bills don't stop. And now, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only guy in the car that is set back. I mean, every fighter on there, you know, they have to put their lives on hold when they're training for a fight.
Right, when you first heard Fedor and Barnett was off the card, did you think that the whole show would be canceled, or they would just find a replacement and move ahead?
Yeah, that's what I thought. They'd be finding a replacement and move ahead. I mean, that's what to do. That's what organizations do. You know, somebody, you have to factor that in, that somebody's going to get hurt, because, you know, it is hurt. You know, this sport is contact. I mean, you know, stuff happens. A lot of stuff happens in training, you know, injuries. So, I mean, that happens normally all the time. But, you know, they always bring replacements in. You know, that's what I think would have happened, should have happened, and I thought that would have happened, but. You know, I don't know why they didn't do that. I can't even speak. I don't understand why. I don't know.
I know you've said in the past interviews with me that you know, you typically focus on the fight, don't worry about the business end, but have you heard any like rumblings or any rumors that Affliction was possibly going to merge with the UFC or that any sort of business transaction was going to happen that would merge, cut off the Affliction company as a company and go back to being a sponsor?
No. I didn't hear any of that before the fight, no.
Do you know anything about what your contract status is right now? Are you allowed to fight anywhere else at the moment, or are you still under contract to fight with them?
No, even though I had the Affliction, I was non-exclusive too, so... I haven't had the opportunity to fight other places, but, you know, this fight was a big fight, so I didn't fight anywhere else, leading up to this fight, you know, just to remain really focused on the fight. I had offers to fight in Strikeforce itself, through at the time was, at the time it was a pretty good fight, but it fell through, and, you know, I just put 100% focus on this fight, but, you know, I am allowed to fight other places.
Have you had anybody contact you since this news happened to try and get you for another fight anywhere else?
Yeah, I'm currently negotiating with Strikeforce and UFC.
Okay.
And if you call me back maybe tomorrow or the next day, I will have an update for you and tell you exactly where I'm going. Right now, I don't know. It's up in the air. I'm still waiting here.
All right, well, we'll definitely be calling you back to get that information. Now, personally, how much blame do you place on Josh Barnett for this happening? Do you think it's... Do you blame him for this whole fiasco happening, or do you think there's something else involved or something higher up?
Yeah, nah, it's not his fault the show got canceled. I mean, you know, he did what he did. I mean, he has to pay the consequences for that. I mean, but that's on him. But, you know, just because of that, the show shouldn't be canceled. It's not his fault the show got canceled. No. I mean, it's definitely higher up, you know, money-wise or ticket sales or, you know, I have no idea why. I mean... You know, normally, like I said before, when somebody gets injured or somebody gets pulled from a fight, they have a replacement. You know, there was a bunch of guys ready to fight instead of Barnett, you know. So it's definitely not Barnett's fault.
That's right. And there were a ton of guys from your camp, Extreme Couture, that were also preparing for fights, including Vitor Belfort. I mean, Sean Tompkins said recently that it was basically like a funeral at the gym right now. I mean, what's it like today at the gym?
I went in this morning. I mean, you know. We got other guys fighting soon, so, you know, that's a good thing about a fight gym. You know, somebody's always fighting, so the morale is pretty, you know, it was down Friday just because all of us found out we weren't fighting, but, you know, it's back to normal pretty much. Guys are in there sweating and working hard.
All right, well, hopefully we'll get to see you fight again very soon. I want to give you a moment now to thank any of your sponsors for this upcoming fight, since you're not going to have a chance to thank them in the ring. So if you'd like right now, please feel free to drop some sponsors' names on our show.
Yeah, well, definitely thanks to my fans. Sorry it didn't happen. It would have been a great fight and my whole camp, Extreme Couture.
All right, sounds good, Jay. Thank you very much, and we'll definitely get an update from you tomorrow about what's going on with the upcoming contract with Strikeforce or UFC.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate the time. All right, joining me now to give a different perspective about the Affliction fallout, we now have Neil Wolfson, who is the manager of Davidas Torcevicius. Davidas was set to face Mark Hominick, but unfortunately that's not going to happen now. Neil, thanks for being here on the show.
How you doing?
All right. Now, coming from a manager's perspective, did you hear about this information before Davidas did, or did he kind of hear about this on the internet or somewhere else?
Yes, no, I heard about it before Davidas. I got a phone call on Friday about 12 o'clock from Tom Asensio.
Okay.
And Tom was informing me that the Affliction Trilogy was going to be canceled.
Did he cite any specific reasons as to why?
It was a tremendous fallout with the Josh Barnett situation. He mentioned to me that... a lot of the sponsors, the pay-per-view, the Showtime sponsors, were not happy. I was told that it was illegal as far as the advertiser was concerned to basically put in another fighter at such short notice. But they were advertising the Fedor Barnett fight for the last 3 months.
Okay, so basically you're saying that Showtime was more or less not too interested, and the pay-per-view people were not too interested in promoting a whole new fight. Okay. So do you think that this is more than a problem with the advertisers, more so than it was Josh Barnett's fault for this show being canceled?
Well, to say directly, it was Josh Burnett's fault. I feel that if the situations with Josh Burnett never occurred, the show would never have been canceled. So I'm going to say that it is I say that Josh Burnett should take majority of the responsibility for what caused the pay-per-view people and the Showtime people to pull out.
Now, coming from a personal opinion now, do you think Josh actually did test positive for steroids, or do you think there's something funny with the California State Athletic Commission?
I'm not privy to that information. I can only read what you read. If they say that he tested positive, then I'm sure that they have multi-tested facilities that back up their findings. So if they make it public that he tested positive, I would assume that it's true.
Now, being a manager of a fighter, and probably some other fighters as well, has this kind of situation ever arisen before where a show is just completely scrapped at this short notice?
I've had it happen with fighters in the IFL, but to answer your question, never happened in such short notice. We've had fights that were canceled. Fighters that were scheduled to fight in shows, but these shows were maybe 2 or 3 months into the future. I've never had a show completely canceled at such short notice.
Okay, and you had mentioned that you also work with the IFL at the time of their collapse. Is this kind of a similar situation between the IFL's demise and Affliction, or is this a little bit different?
I would say that it has some similar situations in one end, and on the other hand, it is different. In one hand, the IFL collapse came at short notice, but it was directly after their fight. So I think it was a few weeks after their fight, we were notified of the collapse of the IFL like everybody else. I think this is different in the fact that there was speculation that Affliction might not make it for a fourth show, but I don't feel that nobody anticipated they were going to cancel the show altogether, especially in such short notice.
Yeah, definitely. It's very odd to have that happen, just, such short notice. There was some speculation that Affliction had contacted the UFC before they canceled the event to try and kind of merge and kind of set things straight. Had you heard anything about that or were aware of any possible deal between the UFC or Strikeforce being worked out with Affliction?
I've heard rumors that there was conversations. That's all I've heard. Nothing that I could say is 100%.
Now, is Davidius going to be paid for this fight even though he's not competing?
At this point, it's unknown. We're still in basic conversations with Affliction. We just found out about this on Friday. So I think that, in the next couple of days, we'll have a better idea of what status is with all the fighters and what the intentions are.
Now, I guess since you mentioned you're not really 100% sure yet, but do you happen to know or maybe speculate what will happen with the contracts? Will the Affliction contracts carry over to UFC or Strikeforce if they get bought out, or are the contracts just going to become null and void and give your fighters freedom once again?
Again, I don't know. I've had limited conversation with Affliction since the cancellation. I do not believe that Affliction even knows at this point what's going on. I believe that they're probably still working out all the details. And as soon as they have the details worked out, I'm sure that I'll be informed.
Now, has Davidius had any contacts from any other companies who are interested in having him fight sooner than later?
We had one company express interest at a smaller show, but nothing on a national level.
Okay, and finally, just one more time. So you pretty much say Barnett is more or less responsible for this mess happening?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I personally think that it's Barnett's fault. I think as a professional, at the level that Josh is at, I would say that he should know better. He's a veteran. He's not an amateur. I mean, the job of a professional fighter is to come in fight condition, to be trained, and observe all the regulations and the laws of the athletic commissioner. I feel that Barnett, if basically Barnett is found to have taken those steroids, I believe that it is his fault. He's a professional. And that's not the character of a professional athlete.
Okay.
And because of his direct actions, it basically affected the lives of many, many fighters and many other people as well who was counting on this fight to take place. So it basically not only caused an emotional hardship, but it also caused financial hardship for the fighters involved.
On that financial hardship, can you divulge how much Davidius was set to be paid and how much you guys spent preparing for this fight?
Well, I cannot divulge how much he was set to be paid, but I can tell you that, you know, any purse is needed by any fighter at Davidius's level. And as far as preparation for the fight, I can tell you that Davidius trained for a good 4 months for this fight. We were aware that Davidius was going to take place in the Affliction card 4 months ago, so we started our training camp 4 months ago. In the last 2.5 months, we really, you know, increased the training, especially the last 6 weeks. So Davidius has been training probably more for this fight than any other fight in his professional career. I mean, Davidius was in tremendous condition. This was going to be his first fight at 145. Dropping down to 155. He's been walking around at about 153 for the last 5 weeks. And any fighter that's dropped a weight knows how difficult that is. Davidius, unlike Josh Burnett, took his job very, very seriously. Trained very diligently for the fight, and was in tremendous shape. I mean, he trained twice a day in the morning and the night. A minimum of 2.5 hours each training session. So he put in about 5 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Now you mentioned
not to mention we talked about financial loss. Not to mention trainers that Davidius had training with him, training partners, sparring partners. I mean, they were all paid. So this is a devastation for Davidius at this time. Not only that, but Davidius was looking very much forward to this fight to basically, you know, show what he was capable of doing on a national level.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the show has been canceled at such short notice. And again, you spent a lot of money preparing for this fight. Now, on that token, you mentioned that you're not sure what's happening as far as Affliction being paid, but are they obligated to pay you despite not competing anyway, since this is something that, you know, wasn't exactly any of your fighters' fault, it was more Affliction's fault. Are they obligated to still pay you no matter what?
You know, like I said, it's too early to tell what's going to happen. I'm going to take a back seat and basically evaluate the situation in the next couple of days. You know, Affliction is reaching out to us. And once they reach out to us, I'll be in a better position to answer that question.
In the worst case scenario that Affliction doesn't choose to pay, do you think there's a possibility we might see a class action lawsuit from fighters and managers against Affliction?
I would say that, you know, anything is possible. you know, I mean, again, you know, we have to wait and see what happens, but I would not rule out anything at this time. I mean, you know, from the judgment of the management, and the fighters, and I can't speak for other fighters other than my fighters, but you know, I mean, stuff happens in businesses. You know, as professionals, we deal with that. So, you know, I'm not going to rule out any possibilities other than the fact that I would very much like things to work out for my fighter Davidius.
Okay, Neil. So, thank you very much for coming on the show. I'd like to give you a chance to shout out for some of the sponsors that helped Davidius prepare for this fight right now, if you'd like.
Sure, I'd like to thank Tim Lane, Davidius's sparring coach. I'd like to like Extreme Gym, Davidius's location. I'd like to thank Maximum Group. I'd like to thank Tokyo 5, Full Contact Fighter, and all the other people involved in Davidius's training.
All right, Neil, thank you very much for your time. I wish good luck to Davidius in the future.
Okay, not a problem.
All right, thank you. All right, joining me next on the show is Paul Buentello. Paul, the headhunter here, was set to fight Gilbert Ivel at the Affliction Trilogy show, but unfortunately, that, along with all the other fights, were canceled. Paul, thanks for being here today.
Hey, nice calling in.
Now, how did you first hear about the cancellation of the event? Did you hear it from a manager, or did you read about it online?
Actually, you know, Tom is a, you know, pretty good promoter and stuff. He called me personally and gave me the bad news, so I thought that was pretty cool, and he called me on Friday morning, early in the morning, so.
Well, that's good to know that the promoter's taking responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Did this news kind of surprise you?
Oh, yeah. It really took a lot of wind out of my sails. You know, I wasn't, just wasn't a good mood, you know, because you put everything to the side and you focus on training. You know, like everybody, you know, we have other lives outside of fighting, and all those pressures and stress boxes that he had at home and stuff really jump on board. So that came all back, and it was a hard couple hours.
Now, when you first heard that Fedor versus Barnett was going to be off the card, did you think that like anything like this magnitude was going to happen with the entire show?
No, I had no idea. You know, I threw my name in the hat too to jump up and fight Fedor. I thought it was a good build-up since I fought his best student or his protege or whatever. So I thought it would be good for me. You know, I thought it'd be a good storyline for the build on, and didn't go that way.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And do you happen to know if there was anything else involved in the shutdown of this card, or do you think it was just primarily for one reason?
I think it was multiple reasons, and they just, you know, from what Tom told me, it was just too much to bear with, you know, try to get everything figured out, and it's better to walk out with your head high than something just dropping everything, and the show just really flops.
Had Tom mentioned to you anything about joining back up with the UFC or Strikeforce or anything kind of along those lines?
No, he hasn't told me anything. That's all management. You know, Tom and I have nothing to do with that. So, management's working on some things, some good stuff. So, we'll see what happens.
Now, how much of the blame for this do you place on Josh Barnett?
You can't blame Josh. I think he was just a scapegoat on this whole situation. And, I just think I think it's multiple things, and it's just broke the camel's back. You know, you heard that saying, the last call, the book comes back. And, that's just one thing. I think what happened is just Josh was just put right in the middle of it.
And it sounds like a lot of people are blaming Josh the most. I mean, whether or not he had the most to do with this is still to be determined. But, either way, it definitely was not good news once Barnett was taken off the card. And you mentioned that you were trying to get yourself in there to replace him.
Yeah, I threw my name in the hat. And the management at Affliction says, don't worry about it. You still have to get it. We got it all under control. And then a few days later, I get the call and the show's done.
Now, at this time, do you happen to know if you're going to be paid at all for the fight?
Not that I know of. I haven't heard anything so far. From what I understand, the way the fight game works is if you show up and the fight gets shut down the day of the fight, then you get something. But I didn't show up to fight, so I don't think there's anything in there.
Okay, that's something that I'm still wondering about myself, since this isn't like that you pulled out or, every single fighter in the card pulled out. It's more like the entire show just pulled itself out, and hopefully somebody gets paid for something out of all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you consider pursuing legal action possibly against Affliction if you don't get paid for this, since you put so much time and money into preparing for this fight?
I don't think I got a leg to stand on. It just sucks that a company that was doing good momentum, had to shut down. But I don't think so. I mean, I can't afford a lawyer. So I don't think there's anything in there.
Are you still trying to get yourself booked for an upcoming fight, like maybe the Strikeforce card on the 15th?
It's up in the air. Crazy Bob's talking to Scott Croker at Strikeforce, and maybe get in there with Verdum. But about 100%, I think it's like 40% chances.
And so you mentioned we talked about Verdum actually on the last time we were on the show. How do you think you'd match up against him?
Very well. He's kind of crafty. He's not a puncher. He's definitely a grappler. And he gets in the clinch. He either pulls guard or tries to do a little leg trip and stuff like that. He's kind of crafty on his outside, moving around and stuff. And it'd be interesting because, I know the first thing he thinks is to take me down and control me on the ground, which, he can control Gonzaga. He can control a lot of people on the ground. Alexander Olenko, really good and stuff like that. But, I think it's an interesting fight. It might be kind of boring because, he might just stay around, run around in circles until he tries to trip me up and take me down and hold me down until each round. So, I don't know. It depends if it happens. If it happens, then, all well is do it. I'm going to try to hit him as hard as possible, but I don't think it's, 40% chance I'm going to get that fight.
Now, is this going to be an interim title fight, or is this just going to be a three-round fight?
I have no idea. The chances of me fighting is probably even 40%, so I don't even know the whole story yet.
Now, as far as your contract goes, now you are trying to look for other fights outside of this. Now, will Affliction, perhaps hold on to your contract if they sell the company to someone else and you have to fight with whoever they sell it to, or will you still have freedom, do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's just one of those things where it's all politics, and I don't know.
So what's the ideal situation for you once all this is settled?
I'm in really good shape right now. I'm still training, not training as hard, and just gotta just keep training.
right, sounds good. Now, before we send you off, I just want to give you a quick chance to shout out to your sponsor, since you're not going to have a chance to shout out to them this weekend. So feel free to plug whoever you want right now.
You know, check out my gear at publicall.com, headergear.com, and dynatep.com, which is an energy shot that is really good to take before workout. So check out dynatep.com and check out my website, publicall.com.
All right, Paul, thanks for being on the show, and good luck in finding a future fight, hopefully sooner than later.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, folks. Four perspectives on the demise of Affliction, and sadly, no real news out of this. At least we know that Tom Atencio personally called the fighters to tell them the bad news. But otherwise, not much else we didn't already know was revealed in these interviews, unfortunately. And it sounds like we will know a lot more this Friday afternoon, and that's going to probably be about the same time when a lot of these fighters hear about what's going to happen with their future as well. Now, I did actually ask for interviews from representatives of Affliction and Strikeforce. I did try, and I could not reach anyone from either organization for any comments. I did get through to Affliction Entertainment, and they told me to send an email, which I had already done, with the person I wanted to talk to directly. They told me they would contact me, but I never got a response back to that email or the phone call. All I got was a receptionist telling me to leave an email, and that was it. So you can't say I didn't try to get as many perspectives as possible in this scenario. I would have liked to have gotten a few more people on the show, but we got what we could, and it seems like even if I did get more people on the show, we would have heard a lot of the same stuff again. But either way, I appreciate all the interviews I got in regards to this, and I wish luck to all the fighters involved. So we're going to take one more break and be right back with some more Fight Nerd Radio. Fight Nerd Radio is sponsored by Hoodlum Fight Gear. Check out their gear and apparel at hoodlumfightgear.com. Also by Boston Brawler. Whether you're a Red Sox or a Yanks fan, you can't deny good designs. Check out bostonbrawler.com. And also by findmmagym.com. Looking for an MMA gym near you? Head to the best site to find your new place to train at findmmagym.com. And we're back on Fight Nerd Radio. So once again, not much new info from the fighters, but I hope at the very least these guys and everyone else involved in Affliction can find fights, hopefully sooner than later. And I appreciate them for giving me any time that they could, since I'm sure right now the press has been crazy hounding them, and I'm sure just to have another reporter bugging them, they probably didn't like it, but I thank them very much for their time. Now, I also want to mention that this Sunday, starting at 10:30 a.m., the first ever New York Mixed Martial Arts Expo will go down at the Uniondale Marriott in Long Island. And they've got some pretty good guests so far, including Andre Arlovsky, Sean Shirk, Clay Guida, Jens Pulver, Jamie Varner, Tim Kennedy, and a bunch of other fighters. Plus, you never know who's going to be walking around. If they're all, it's going to be in Long Island, home of Matt Serra and Pete Sell, Luke Kumo, and it's not too far from Jersey, where you might get a lot of guys like Ricardo Almeida. Who knows who's going to show up? I also want to mention that I'm going to be debuting my documentary at the show, which follows Team Serra Longo fighter and three-time All-American wrestler, who now fights in Ring of Combat and will be competing in the 86-kilogram division at the Abu Dhabi Combat Club World Tournament in Spain in September, Chris Weidman. So come check that out if you want to meet the Fight Nerd and Chris Weidman. We're going to do a little question-and-answer session and show the movie, so come on down for that. And for more info on the event itself, you can check out nymmaexpo.com. That's nymmaexpo.com. And if you're in New York this Sunday, come on down. Show starts at 10:30 in the morning, wraps up at about 3:30 p.m., but hopefully it'll get extended if enough people show up. So, once again, I want to thank my sponsors, CageSideMMA.com, HoodlumFightGear.com, FindMMAGym.com, and BostonBrawler.com. Special thanks to my guests this week, L.C. Davis, Jay Haran, Paul the Headhunter Buentello, and Neil Wolfson. This week on the FightNerd.com website, my interview with Scott Coker, the president of Strikeforce that I talked about last week on the show, will be up, as well as Chris Weidman, who I just mentioned. I'm going to have him demonstrating an overhead belly-to-belly suplex, which is actually a move he used in his Ring of Combat debut. So if you want to check that out, you definitely got to head to the Fight Nerd, and that's going to give you some more reason to check out the movie if you're in the New York area this weekend. And also, we'll have a few more goodies from Extreme Couture in Las Vegas, so you can find all that and plenty more on thefightnerd.com. I, of course, am the Fight Nerd. Thanks for listening. I'll see you guys next week.